For the readings, and I'd like us just to look a little bit at the text. Last time I was with you, we looked at the story of Deborah and Barak, Jael and Deborah being the two key ladies in the story, and today a little bit about the Gideon. Just a little bit of an introduction, really. The book of Judges covers about 200 years, and it's the yo-yo syndrome. God in his mercy responding every time God's people eventually cry to him. Through the Old Testament, we see the story of a relationship that God desperately wanted with his people. That carries on into the New Testament. God wanted a romance with his bride, Israel. And through the Old Testament, we see how God has so much emotion, and he loved Israel, but often he got angry, and it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We often talk about deliverance from demons. They are a minor when it comes to the anger of God, and God in his displeasure, often he rose up in anger. And we see this in the book of Judges, his displeasure, and he allowed the people, his people, to be dominated and overtaken. And then they cried out to him because it got too difficult, and a man was raised up who brought deliverance. But right through the book, we don't see much breakthrough. It then went into another period, where again they went back into their old ways, and then another judge was raised up. And really, the story for us today, often there's a lot of Old Testament principles that we have to reinterpret through the eyes of the New Testament. And God wants us to win battles. Battles in our own personal life. His heart is for us. He wants to come in, transform us, get us through some of the battles. The battles are mainly on the inside, our thinking, our walk with him. He then wants us to be able to share some of those victories and get out and impact our society. We are the salt, which is meant to affect our culture. And in the book of Judges, there was never really a change in the culture. It was just individual victories. And I believe that God wants his church, not for us to get individual victories, that's great, but to make an impact into society. Some of the revivals that Britain has known in the past, there were so many Christians that were swept into the kingdom that it changed culture. There was a reform in the way we were in our society. And really that's on God's heart, I believe. He wants to sweep in with his spirit and touch and change culture to bring in back his ways. So, we see that it's a period that Judges chapter 21, 25 tells us about. Everyone did as they saw fit. Not a very good time. Probably a verse that expresses the book of Judges. And the Lord says in Judges 3:1 that he left some of the enemies, because of their disobedience, he left these enemies around to train them up, to try and teach them, to try and train them to get their relationship back with him, with God. And today we can interpret that God so longs to continue a love relationship with his church today. It's not about working for him. When we go into Europe, we don't feel we have to do stuff, but we love Jesus, we love the relationship with him, and we just say, Lord, put your heartbeat into us. And God's heartbeat is to see people born again, to see people transformed and changed. And that's, he does it through ordinary individuals like you and me. Sometimes we hear people on the platform and think, why, yes, that's really good, and they must have a call. The army of God is each one of us. Out of our weaknesses, he transforms us and channels us to be able to together get out and share the gospel. I tell you, when we go on teams, one of the things I think is so important is that we have a lot of fun together. We don't come with a religious spirit, but I like to produce an atmosphere where we have lots of laughter, lots of fun, where people can step out and do things they never dreamed they would ever do, and make the wildest mistakes possible, but we can have good fun all around that. And that's how we grow. We all start with a little seed, and as we take bigger and bigger steps, we learn more about God, we learn about each other, and together we can have a lot of fun growing into the things that God has got for us. Now, coming back to our story, here we see that in the first few verses, the scripture tells us that the people of God were oppressed. It says that the Midianites came in their droves. Every time Israel tried to plant anything, they were impoverished. Some of the words that are used. The Midianites ruined the crops. And they felt small. They felt insignificant. They felt powerless. And they cried out to God, "Lord, have mercy upon us." God in his grace responds to that prayer. And he raised up this chapter, because I don't know who else gets the next couple of chapters on Gideon. I get the first one. But a lot of these three chapters were about, the first one is raising up the man that God is going to use. Gideon suffered with fear. The people around him, his father, were worshipping the Baals. They were stooping to the spirit that was around them. His father had a Baal and a pole in the garden that they worshipped, or part of his land. When we start mixing with the culture around us that is not a believing culture, it affects us. It affects us in our identity, in whom we are meant to be as sons and daughters of the living God. It affects the way we think. And God has called us into a family, but he's also called us into a battle. And he's looking for men and women whom he can put his finger on and begin to train them up. Folk who know they're weak. Gideon, he, in those verses, said, "But I come from Manasseh, it's the weakest tribe. I'm only an Abazrite," whatever it was. "I'm from the weak bunch. How on earth can I do anything?" The reason that they were so impoverished and so trodden down is because of the state of their hearts. They were worshipping the idols. And God had said to them, "Worship me." Worship is key in the New Testament. We have to translate things, because obviously we're no longer in the Old Testament days. I'm sure if you were to go down the road with a donkey jaw and start slashing at people, as in the book of Judges, you wouldn't be highly respected. You'd get a good publicity for the local church. There was the victories they had in those days. And today we're in a very different epoch. But the Spirit of God is the same. God always, in every victory, had a new way of bringing in a new victory. He had new commands to give the people that he raised up. New thinking. God always is on the move. In the New Testament, our Father is always at work. The New Testament tells us. Our Father is always speaking. He's always wanting to do things. We are now all filled with the Holy Spirit, or can be. The Spirit of God isn't just on the 12 leaders of Judges, not just on Gideon in this respect. The Spirit of God is upon us as a people. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. He loves us. He is inside our hearts. When we hear truth, it echoes inside us. Yes. When we hear of a miracle or a healing or the move of God, it gives us a yes inside. In the same way, when we're not quite walking in God, the Holy Spirit indicates that to us inside. Nobody needs to tell us. The presence of the Holy Spirit. And God had said to them, you know, some of the things that he wanted to remind them. First of all, he told them, you're not worshipping. You're worshipping the idols. You're bowing down to the wrong things, which indicated by their worship what their hearts were like. The person we worship, we become like. If we have all our time thinking about the idols around us, that will affect us inside. It wanes our passion. Passion is, we're meant to be a passionate people. Christians are called to be a passionate people. God created us to be passionate about him, to love him. And God doesn't want to work with anything but lovers. He doesn't look at our professional ability, but he wants to work with lovers, people that love him. And when we fall in love with Jesus, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And that's the exciting thing about walking with God. Walking the Christian walk is the most exciting walk we can have. Stepping into the unknown. Stepping out in him. It becomes an exciting walk. And a big school. And something I've learned over the years is that the more further I walk in him, the less I know. Don't know more, I know less. I think, well, I've got over that bit, got a few victories here, and I think, boy, there's so much more I don't understand, Lord. And he moves in a way that I thought, well, I didn't think you were going to do that, Lord. And all the victories we see in the book of Judges, including Gideon, you couldn't think it up. You couldn't think it up. God often is a wonderful way of doing it. And today, when he breaks into people's lives, he's got amazing creative ways to break in. He's got creative ways to break into your life in ways that you have not yet thought, because he works out of our thought processes. He is, in Isaiah, beyond our thinking. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. There's a load of things and thoughts out there that he's got for my life, where I've just got to be, okay, Lord, don't understand your mystery, but I'm going to follow you. Because I know what you're doing. And I know that sometimes things are going to come along that I've got to struggle with. But I trust in you. I trust in you. Keep walking. God had a wonderful plan for his people in the book here. And they were bowing down to these foreign gods. Their hearts were wrong. And it's interesting that after, as we come to the book, the end of Gideon's life, Gideon unfortunately made an ephod of gold, which you'll read about with the next person who preaches. And what happens is, after a great victory, the Israelites then worship this golden ephod. They've just seen God's spirit at work. Great victories that came through Gideon. The spirit of God was on him. They saw the victories and they're straight back to worshipping the idols. Oh, how we have to watch our hearts. We can have victory 1 minute as Christians, and then we can turn if we are not attentive. We need to be keeping hungry for him, keeping thirsty for him, keeping looking where he is moving. It's a growing thing. If we're not growing, we are in danger of becoming stagnant or going back. God has always got more. Now, he wants to remind his people, which he does in 6 verses 7 to 10. Remember how I brought you up out of Egypt. I snatched you from the power of Egypt. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. In other words, the Midianites and all the other enemies. I said, I am the Lord your God. Don't worship idols. Worship me. He wanted to remind them. Oh, how we quickly forget. Oh, how we quickly forget. And right through the book of Judges, it was a heart problem. Up and down, up and down, up and down, but never going anywhere. And he just reminds them, and he sends a prophet in his grace to speak the word of God. We don't know the name of the prophet spoke. Then God calls Gideon. He finds Gideon, whose dad is not leaving him a very good model. His dad has got an Asherah pole in the garden. He's not giving him an example as he should do. We desperately need today examples, because we grow through seeing men and women who are walking the walk. When I get around men and women who love God and are walking the walk, I think, yes, I'd like a bit of that. I have been spurred on by mixing with the right people, not mixing with the wrong people. Although I do a lot of time mixing with people that don't know Jesus, because I want to share Jesus. But I also need to be around the right people who are much further down the road with me, other giftings, and they stir you. Something is parted from them. I have spiritual fathers who I regularly spend time with. I want to hear them, hear from them, and they impart something. And so he finds Gideon. And what is Gideon doing? Gideon is under the influence of his people who are bowing down. He's a minority, but he's under the influence of fear. So what is he doing? He's grinding out the corn in a winepress, the verse that was mentioned there. So there's Gideon, out of fear for the oppression, is a heaviness, an atmosphere. It's on the people, and he's under that. That can happen. It can happen in churches. It can happen in towns. It can happen where there's groups of people. There's an ambiance. But the opposite can happen. And he should have been up on the hilltop where the wind was, grinding the corn to blow away the chaff, but he's down in a wine vat out of fear. We desperately need God's Spirit to blow upon us and give him his authority, his power, his confidence. We are sons and daughters. I always find it interesting when we go into team activity abroad. Often, it's something I've noticed. When as Christians we live a time together, sometimes we're together for a week or quite a few days, we kind of there, and often we need to be ministered to. We need just God's touch to revive us. We need to break free from fears and sometimes some of the stuff we're carrying, pain, misunderstanding, all sorts of things that accumulate in our hearts. For me, I struggle with unbelief. And I need other brothers and sisters around me to pray for me, to get me out of that. And I always watch as we move out, and then there's a point where often the Holy Spirit will move. And we had one in Spain two or three years ago. And there was a girl on the team, and she was with a lady, and we'd been worshipping. And an older lady came over. She'd been listening, a Spanish lady, came over and said, "Oh, that's lovely. I really enjoyed that singing. Could you come over and sing a song to me?" So she sat, it was quite interesting. She sat in the park, she sat down, quite an old lady, and two of the girls went over and just stood next to her and sang a song. They sang about Jesus. And she said, "Oh, that was wonderful." And then suddenly one of the girls who was there got just a picture of a leg. And she said, "Excuse me, do you suffer with a pain in your leg?" And the lady says, "I do." So they said, "Do you mind if we just put our hands on you and pray for you?" So they did. She stood up. They laid their hands on her. And suddenly this woman, the pain went. In Jesus' name, pain, go. The pain went. So after we'd been out and about doing our stuff with them, talking with people and whatnot, got back. We always have a sharing time afterwards. And these two girls, full of excitement, shared, "Jesus healed this woman." Now, it's very interesting to watch on all of us what happens. Suddenly, we realize that God's with us. We know it, but it's when the reality of it hits, it transforms us. And the measure of faith then starts to rise, and it transforms the atmosphere within a group. Suddenly, victory, the smell of victory comes in upon folk as Christians suddenly realize, yes, that is our inheritance. And as we go out onto the streets after that and do different stuff, often there is a new bounce in the way they talk, in the way they pray for people, and God begins to do things. So they were under this yoke, a yoke of heaviness, and Gideon is under fear. He's crushing the wheat in the wine press, and the angel who comes and speaks to him says to him, mighty warrior, mighty warrior. He's already pronouncing on him what he is not yet walking in. Oh, mighty warrior Gideon. And he says, but how can I be a mighty warrior? I am the weakest of all the rest of it. And then he says, why? Oh, we hear the stories of great things in the past. Why are we under this oppression? And da 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 da. And the angel gives him his orders. Go in the strength you have, and the Spirit of God will be with you as you move forward. Partnership. I spoke a little bit about it the last time I was here. Partnership with God. Partnership with the Holy Spirit. As God's presence comes and we begin to walk in the mindset of God, according to his word, obedient to him, we start to move forward in the battle. God has pronounced stuff for us, on us, in his word, and it's for us to begin to walk in it, working out our salvation, learning to walk in the power of the Spirit who is with us, undoing a lot of knots that are up here, and seeing a few breakthroughs. And basically, the angel God is preparing Gideon with another way of thinking. And later, in the next chapter, or at the end of this chapter or two, the trumpet is blown, and the armies of God then get run up behind Gideon as they go out into battle. And then, as you know, they have to start dealing with fear, because fear's on the camp. Often, when the world gets in the boat, there's confusion in the camp. It's one of the enemy's number one ways of dealing with attack on us, is to bring confusion. Often I've seen it. When we start mixing too much, we can't hear the clarity that God wants to bring. Well, my time is up. Just as a final thought, Gideon had got very low in confidence. Hence, he needed once again a confirmation. And the story of the wall goes out. If you're really going to bring victory through us, through little old me. And we know the story of how God answers the prayer of the wall. The enemy's tactic is often to make us feel so small and insignificant as Christians, as people who carry God's presence, who represent him. And as we begin to walk in the realm of the Spirit, of what the Holy Spirit begins to equip us and call us to do, our confidence level begins to change. Because we see God at work, begin to learn who he is, his character. Gideon was being transformed in his thinking, his heart. He had to tear down, the point came where he had to tear down something in his own family, the Asherah poles, and face the consequences. Go against his father, in a sense. But that was the price he had to pay to come in to the position that God needed him to lead the armies of God. God is dealing with us as his church. There are so many people out there that need to hear the gospel. So many answers that we need. Only God can do it. but he's chosen to work with you and me. Isn't that wonderful? He's chosen to work with you and me. Hallelujah.
Good. I'll stop there.
Time's moving on. May I just pray with you? And we just ask the Holy Spirit just to come and touch us. If you just sense you would like God's touch on your own life, in whatever it may be, just as we close our eyes, I just ask you to put your hand on your heart. Just place your hand on your heart, and I just want a prayer, a general prayer over us. Father God, we so love you, but Jesus, we so realize our limits, but you want to come and bring us into a walk with you as we learn to do the things. The reason the Son of God was sent is to destroy the works of the evil one. Gideon was called to destroy the works of the evil one. And Jesus, I pray for each one in Jesus' name now that you'll touch us. Fill us with your presence, Father. Guide us. Any here are sick or struggling with fears, in Jesus' name, I just speak the victory of the cross over you, the victory of Jesus over you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do your work, Father. Minister to us inside with your presence, with your peace. You're a graceful God. You don't barge in. Come and touch us, Lord, where we need your touch inside. Your healing work, Father.